Hello and welcome to the FinTech Newscast. My name's John, and with me, as always, are my co-host Steve. How are you doing?
Hey, John. I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. Well, we never have a shortage of topics for a FinTech Newscast. So much going on these days. A lot of IPOs, acquisitions, new product developments. I don't think we've even covered NFTs on the show yet.
I don't think we have. No, we may have maybe discussed the art market stuff, but not really the technology behind it. No.
Yeah. A lot going on there. And one thing, you know, I'm not sure exactly what it means, actually, but the term DeFi. I love the idea of decentralized finance. I've seen one or two kind of applications, but I couldn't tell you what if something is DeFi or not 100%. Do you feel comfortable with this?
I think I get it broadly as an umbrella term, but not so much in the specifics. But thankfully, we have a guest today who can help us demystify DeFi for us.
But yeah, we have Tim Frost, the founder and CEO of the Yield app with us.
Hey, John and Steve, it's great to be here today. So thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. And especially with the time difference, you're in Thailand right now. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm based in our kind of headquarters in Bangkok, Thailand.
I guess the first thing is, help us address the DeFi definition a little bit. What does it mean if something is a decentralized financial application?
To try to strip it down what it is, it's you know, mirroring a lot of traditional kind of financial instruments, and now they're happening kind of through the Ethereum blockchain. And if you kind of really kind of strip it down, it's usually borrowing, lending is kind of very at the core base of this, and the kind of advent of automatic market makers through these kind of decentralized exchanges. So you have a decentralized exchange. Are you guys more or less familiar with like a Uniswap?
Please enlighten us.
So Uniswap's a project that was created a few years ago originally, and it was, how do you kind of mirror an exchange like a Binance or a Coinbase? So on a Coinbase, you have a centralized exchange where essentially you can sign up, do your KYC, deposit your card, and once you have crypto assets, you can be able to trade pretty freely into a market in different trading pairs. And so with the kind of evolution of decentralized exchanges, this is essentially, it's all happening on chain, particularly on the Ethereum blockchain, and now it's expanded across many other blockchains as well. And so now a user can go on and basically trade different asset classes through kind of a decentralized exchange. And it's all happening through the use of smart contracts happening, you know, predominantly on Ethereum.
So you could say decentralized finance is where the intermediaries are removed and replaced with rules that are programmed into the blockchain so that it can be just automatic. There's no clearance, settlement, and all that. It's all done automatically through the blockchain. So you don't need broker dealers, all the exchange players, or if it's a different market, all those manual players, those are all just replaced with the rules built into the blockchain.
I think that's a great definition right there. So yes, the intermediaries have actually been replaced in this scenario. So yes, everything is governed basically by smart contracts that are predefined on the criteria. So, and you know, when on the borrowing and lending side, same thing, people that are, you know, be able to borrow and lend their capital, they are borrowed and lent on a kind of a predetermined criteria. And yes, and through a series of sequences, since your assets, if you are going to lend them out, you have a predetermined criteria when they are going to be returned. And so it's a it's really kind of expanded really fast because of the because it's a very fluid market that moves 24/7. And you know, as we've moved into quite an exciting kind of crypto kind of bull market that has, you know, really exploded over the last year, just the use case has been kind of constantly evolving. And you know, predominantly moves around stable coins, which is, you know, predominantly US dollar stable coins, and through Ethereum. For people that really understand kind of what's happening, you can now kind of lock up your own liquidity into these different protocols. So for example, you now have the opportunity to make passive income through like Uniswap and through SushiSwap and through so many different protocols that are being actively used every day. And those are essentially, you know, high interest yielding accounts. And that's pretty much at the core of what we do at YieldUp as well on behalf of our clients.
So you provide like the front end for people to be able to trade and do or invest and do what they need to do. Is the Yield, the YLD utility token that you guys have, what is the role in that, in facilitating that?
The YLD token, it's a membership token at this point. You know, for our clientele, we provide between a 12 to 20% APY, and we use the YLD token as a kind of a membership to kind of move up to your APY levels.
Oh, how do you get that kind of return? I mean, interest rates are almost nothing. Is this people paying to access your cryptocurrencies, or who pays that? And how does that get so high?
If you went to curve.fi, the Curve protocol is basically at the core fundamentals of, you know, where we're kind of deploying capital today. So to kind of break it down, the Curve is primarily a stablecoin protocol where people are essentially, you know, buying and selling different stablecoins continuous 24/7 a day, and there's different use cases for their different stable coins. And we are taking liquidity from our clientele and, you know, strategically putting this into different curve positions. That these different curve positions are providing a high interest yielding accounts. So, you know, for our clientele, like why we can provide up to 20% APY is because we are able to produce in excess of this and be able to pass on those high interest yielding accounts of all the complexity that's happening in the back end to our clients.
And your product is aimed almost exclusively at consumers. You're not working with corporates, or are you?
We have corporates, yes. So we have a new corporate program that we've, you know, opened up, and you know, we have new corporates joining every day. And so I think it's designed for primarily retail clients of, you know, for, I mean, what we're kind of building, and like the whole inspiration around what we're building is just, you know, it's kind of goes along that. Like we believe in the technology of, you know, the Ethereum blockchain. And, you know, we've done audits to every extent we can on Curve. And it's a place where you can be able to provide liquidity, lock up liquidity into a stablecoin protocol, and you know, obviously we have our own capital as even individuals kind of tied up as well. And so, you know, that all the complexity of doing this, of, you know, the sheer almost voodoo it would be like to interact with these different protocols, like we do this on behalf of our entire client base. So the average person, the average crypto user, but we're really looking to bridge this to a more traditional world with the kind of the second version of Yield App 2.0, which will be coming out in the next 2 months.
Oh, interesting. So essentially the main benefit of this is that you can get a higher yield, and that you simplify the whole process to get into it. So you're basically creating a better on-ramp for non-crypto experts to play in the market.
Yes. Looking to make a very simplistic way of earning a passive income. So that's our primary goal. For you know, there are those that, that are able to go directly at a protocol level and interact directly into the, to the DeFi market. And we, of course, we encourage this. But for those that, you know, just don't have the time to kind of learn about it, or even just want to take the risk, because obviously it's a, anytime you're interacting with like the Ethereum blockchain or anything crypto overall, I mean, there are inherent risks.
How do you think that your application and yield and what you're building is, will, is affected, if in any way whatsoever, by both the decline in Bitcoin that we've seen recently and also the public offering of Coinbase, which happened also somewhat recently?
There was a lot of eyes on Coinbase, as kind of expected. Bitcoin, as a, if you look at it on a price level, I mean, yes, it's a constantly, you know, it's a very volatile asset class, as well as kind of crypto overall. But, you know, we see this as a very long-term sustainable ecosystem. And so, you know, yes, we might have a decline over the last, let's say, you know, 72 hours plus. But you know, overall, I think that we're still, well, like myself and most people, about the kind of the real potential of where, you know, crypto plays in our financial future.
Hmm. Do you have a take on whether you know the price of Bitcoin or the rally that we've seen in Dogecoin will also affect how you do business as well, or are you just are you agnostic to the price of the actual assets and more thinking of how to enable again that ease of use for the end consumer?
The price of Bitcoin, the price of Dogecoin. No, naturally, people are going to be more and more attracted when things are, you know, on the upswing, right? So, like I said, I've, you know, even over the last couple of weeks, I mean, I get messages from childhood friends and you know, family members that, you know, of course, naturally they want to talk about Dogecoin, which is, you know, it's almost a terrifying event. I feel like, right? It's like, yes, I understand it's up. Yes, if you would have invested into a few months ago, you would have, you know, you could have done very well with this. Is this something you'd want to pass, hold long term? My answer is no. Yeah. So, you know, short term speculation, you know, I understand it. I'm not one that particularly likes to embark on this because I think it's quite dangerous. And so it does bring a lot of attention to this world, for both good and bad. But I think as long as people are quite long term and let's say do try to do your own due diligence and, you know, knowing that, like, you know, what's kind of being built with, you know, with Bitcoin and Ethereum and some of these other great projects, I think that there's, you know, vast potential. But again, we still have these outliers like the Dogecoin, which, well, somehow have managed to kind of gain a foothold.
I was going to ask you if either of you, the Dogecoin got kind of the hype, like the way GameStop got some hype. It was just kind of promoted up.
I think it might have been initially one of those, you know, memes. Not it's on a stock, but, you know, one of those meme assets. It's a meme investment. Thank you. Which is now a 2020 thing or a 2021 thing. But yeah, I think initially it was a meme investment that it just kind of snowballed. But it's actually it's been around for several years now. I remember when it first came out.
It was a joke thing. Yeah. Ago.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, some people say they're all joke cryptocurrencies, but. Yeah.
That's a different argument. Yeah,
it was. I mean, listen, Dogecoin actually, it's been around since I think 2014, and so, you know, it has such a vast base. And so, yes, it's a meme. It hasn't, this protocol or this coin essentially hasn't been developed on for years. And yeah, I think it's a, you know, I would warn everyone quite sternly, right? Like, I mean, at some point, right, there's only one direction that this price is going to go. So, but, you know, while we've seen so many people pile into this, it is going to be quite dangerous, because the one thing I think we can, you know, guarantee you is a year from now that the price is going to be much lower than it is. Doesn't mean that the price won't be higher in between then, but at some point, right, it'll go back to probably where it belongs. But again, it's quite a phenomenon. Yeah. So
You know, it seems like Ethereum is just the premier platform for doing all the development. You were mentioning is, you know, it's designed for programming from the ground up, and it's done a great job of that. But is there any chance, any competitors? Bitcoin doesn't seem like it has that same capability for a couple of reasons. So it looks like Ethereum will be the platform for most mass development for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the Ethereum ecosystem, I mean, the collective brain power that it's working on. So it is by far the largest open source development community in the world. And so every Ethereum competitor has basically the forked Ethereum's code and it is attempting to improve on it, on its, you know, but at the core, it's all using the Ethereum virtual machine. So you now have the Binance Smart Chain, Cardano, Polkadot, which has all kind of emerged from Ethereum. But it's the positive thing, it's all pushing kind of innovation forward quite aggressively.
So you're based in Thailand, your company's in Thailand, but you also have, I think, an office in Estonia. What are sort of the governmental actions that are preventing you from, you know, growing your business or from this becoming more of a mainstream thing? And that is, are there any at all? And if so, are there any that you would like to see removed or modified to make this space more innovative and more open to new ideas?
But at this moment, I mean, we're growing quite quick. So we don't really see any kind of restrictions on this side that are kind of inhibiting things at the moment. You know, there's governments around the world that have kind of adopted stable coins and are now open to the usage of stable coins into kind of the traditional kind of financial world, as well as different crypto assets. And so I would say more and more we're seeing it kind of open up, but I said as a kind of a CEO in this, I don't presently kind of wake up. I'm seeing a lot of walls and barriers that as I kind of did with years past. And so, you know, at this moment, I think that we kind of understand where things are at. Of course, this industry has a lot of growing up still that needs to be done. And it, you know, still, this is all beta software, right? So it's a kind of an action. And of course, there's people that will associate like DeFi with everything that's happening in DeFi. So, you know, I gave you kind of a short version of like decentralized finance, but what's really kind of happening is this, it is really Wild West of what's happening out there. And a lot of people that are able to kind of launch their own basically investment platforms that aren't fully audited and even fully kind of worked out. And so, you know, people kind of moving capital into these without really fully understanding the consequences is kind of a massive issue that still plagues the industry overall. And so, you know, it's, you know, I don't see regulation as like a deal breaker by any means. We do full KYC on all of our clients. We obviously monitor for illicit activity on the blockchain and try to uphold kind of top global standards worldwide. And at the same time, just allowing our business to kind of grow and kind of flourish in this environment. So, I mean, we've seen tens of millions of people have moved into crypto. And I think every year you're going to just continue to see that. So the speculative aspect is brought so many new eyeballs to this, right? So every time we have a big upswing in price and Dogecoin, there's more and more people that start to look at this.
Are there any markets that you're especially, you know, you see a lot of interest in or that are exciting to you?
The developing world, I think, has the most to gain. You know, here's one use case like we're kind of working on that we're, you know, quite excited on, and just how do you kind of build this out? So we have a team down in Nigeria on the ground that's, we're really trying to open up opportunities there for people. And so you have a kind of a falling national currency, as much of the developing world does. You're better off holding a euro or a dollar or pounds or some other kind of top global currency than your own local currency. The ability to hold this is quite rare. A lot of times you can get paper dollars. Obviously, there's a lot of fraud, but when you have paper dollars, it doesn't help you cross border. And so, educating people that they can actually take their Nigerian naira, and we can help them to get that into a US dollar stable coin. So that alone is essentially saving them money, even if they're not earning money on that dollars, just that they're avoiding massive devaluation of that currency that they're holding. At that point, now what we're trying to offer them is high interest bearing accounts through DeFi. So not only are they able to kind of escape their own kind of current currency issues, they're able to move their currency to a digital dollar and actually put that money to work. So instead of facing massive devaluation on their naira, allowing them to hold US dollars and earn a strong interest rate on that, as well as and then it starts to open up the opportunities of what you can actually do with that capital. If you have friends, family overseas, if you're running a business overseas, if you need to move capital in and out, because the other thing is that what nation states have done all across the world a few decades ago was this controlling capital in and out of countries, particularly leaving the countries. With digital currency, there are no borders on that side.
So the Nigerian government is okay with that kind of capital flowing in and out, or are you under the radar still?
We're under the radar. We have a team there that's kind of actively talking to them. But like, are we saying in and out? I mean, locally, people are moving their capital, let's say from naira to its US dollars, right? And so, the government doesn't inhibit this activity. And so, said it's it's much easier to just ask for forgiveness later and then ask for permission on the way in.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be able to get out if you ever go there. But so it's just so they can operate and live their lives and do what they need to do within their country, and offering a little bit more stability for them to do that than capital flows or anything like that, right? It's just they have a wallet that has something that's not going to, like you said, devalue so quickly.
Yeah, just giving people more options, right, is what ultimately you want to provide.
So since we have you on here, it's not exactly related, but what do you think about a central bank digital currencies fulfilling some of this role?
I think it's a good step into the right direction. That central bank digital currencies that are adopting the technology, which is great, because ultimately they will be, they will be stable coins is kind of when you break it down. And so when this is kind of evolved, the moving money faster, quicker, settlements are going to be happening instantaneously. And, this cross-border commerce, right? This is all going to become, I think it is a massive step of evolution into the right way. And just having that, those audit trails of that blockchain where you can actually be able to properly kind of track the capital movement. And because I just think overall it's kind of evolving money from where it has been, and it'll make things much more efficient and transparent, especially more things like just stomp out more and more corruption and make it more challenging to kind of deal
with. Very ambitious. Yeah.
Seems like it.
Yeah. But hopefully.
Well, I'm sure that criminals will always find a way of.
They're crazy creative. I'm always impressed by the most, the daring thieves and the tricks they come up with. But I see what you mean with the overall development and central bank digital currencies. I think I saw the initial test, I think alpha code, it will be released in Q3 of this year for the Federal Reserve and MIT project that they're working on. So what is in the future for yield? Where do you guys expect to be in like a year or two?
In about 2 years, we kind of have an internal two-year target to build this into a full-fledged digital banking infrastructure. So, you know, with your card programs, your fiat rails, be able to hold both fiat and crypto, kind of be able to exchange very fluidly in between these assets, and just really start to bridge what we see as this CeFi, the centralized finance, more traditional, you know, fiat denominated accounts and our digital currencies, and just, you know, more and more give that opportunity that people are able to understand that, you know, there's, you know, investing into to DeFi is both safe, sustainable, and, you know, start to become common. So we got a two-year kind of roadmap on that, that we're really kind of excited to build on.
Wow. Yeah. Great. Well, that's also very ambitious, and we're glad you can get the word out to our millions of listeners.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure today. I thought it was in the billions, by the way.
We're working on it.
Yes.
That's Tim Frost, the founder and CEO of the Yield app. Please hit subscribe to keep up with the latest in fintech news. And thank you for listening.